everybody. It's the Couch Critiques, and guess what? We're doing the Post Malone movie of the year. You know, the one where Post Malone was in the end credits more than the regular movie. Roadhouse. I'm Riker. This is
Chandler.
And this is...
Who am I?
Mason!
Yay!
And we're here to critique some couches and movies. Mostly movies, though.
We need to do a couch episode.
We should do a couch episode. Maybe April Fool's couch episode?
Oh, shit. The April is right around
I didn't even realize. Until I just said that out loud. Wow. Jesus. So close. Yeah, we did the movie Roadhouse, the new one, the 2024 jam. Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor.
And that's about it.
Post Malone for approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds of the movie. How are you guys doing this week?
Good. How are you?
Awful.
I'm a little upset about that sexual experience I had last night.
Huh?
It's a liar, liar.
Did you see?
It's a quote from Liar, Liar.
I thought we were about to get a crazy story.
His jaw was a gate.
Did you see his face, dude? He was so ready for your story.
I wanted to hear the story.
Well, I'm sorry to break this to you. That was a quote.
This is a movie podcast.
Too hot. Hot.
Not my story there. He's drinking coffee, just so everybody knows. We watched Roadhouse, the new 2024 jam with Jake Gilly. Does anybody want to go through the list of people in the movie?
Since I can't read, I'll do it.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
The director is Doug Liman, obviously, Daddy Gyllenhaal, Dalton.
Do you call him Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. Dan Aaliyah, Mella Choir is Ellie, Conor McGregor is Knox. Billy Magnuson is Ben Brandt, Jessica Williams is Frankie, and Post Malone is Carter, and everyone else in the movie just I didn't think really need to be said besides the sheriff.
Yeah, let me see if I have anybody else. You said Billy.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm trying to go and grab some stuff while we're talking because I missed one of my things.
I can normally go over the ratings while you're doing that.
No, I'm up. I pulled it up already. So we have. You said Billy was Lucas Gage, right? You said Billy.
Billy Magnuson was Ben Brandt.
Oh, okay, sorry. I jumped all the way to the actual character Billy from. There's a character named Billy, obviously. Jessica Williams was Frankie. BK Cannon was Laura. Joaquin de Almeida is a sheriff, Big Dick, which
is his credited name.
He was credited as sheriff. I put Big Dick in parentheses beside it because
I'm not calling you that.
Yeah, it was such a weird fucking thing. And then Post Malone was Carter, and Lucas Gage was Billy, and then Dominique Columbus was Reef.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I almost went one more character because it was the funny thug. His name was Mo, the character.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't grab it. He's been in a few things. Yeah. I should have grabbed that.
Is that the guy that's the nicest person you could ever meet?
Yeah.
He was okay. Like, I just came down here. It's kind of hard to ride by yourself in South Florida.
He's the one that gets his arm broken in the initial fight.
See, what I don't understand is I wish Post Malone had a bigger part in this movie because Post Malone, I think, can act. I think he does an all right for the minute and I mean, I'm not saying put him in for the whole 2 hours and 3 minutes and 42 seconds, but...
There was another movie he did.
Yeah, I know which one you talk. I can't think of it. He had just one speaking role.
Yeah, it was a movie on Netflix. It had.
I gotta look it up. Hold on.
It had. Why can't I remember his name? Oh my god, Shooter. Pain and Gain.
Oh my god.
Why can't I remember his name? He's a big, strong man. He was in the movie Fear.
He was in the prison.
Yes.
It was fucking.
Son of a bitch. Sorry, we're ruining this podcast right now.
He was in Wrath of Man, XXX, Return of Cage Thunder.
I'm really struggling right now to figure out the name of the actor who I can't.
This is what happens when we do an episode on a Wednesday.
Yeah, this is the, you know, it's funny. Last week was the longest time we had to get information to record, and this week is like the shortest we've ever had.
I think
it
was just Man of Wrath. I think that was the movie, Man of Wrath.
It might have been Man of Wrath, but I'm trying to remember the name of the lead actor that was in that. Can you please click on it and tell me before I leave?
Oh, it's Jason Statham.
No, that wasn't it.
Oh, that wasn't it?
That wasn't the movie.
Clearly you can tell this is the shortest time we've had.
It was, it had,
a big white dude in it.
Should we start over?
No.
I want to scream right now. I can't remember the name. Anyway.
While you guys are both doing research.
Marky Mark.
And the Funky Bunch. Oh, my God.
It was Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg was the actor.
I'm not reading this name. What does that say?
God. Spencer Confidential.
Yeah, Spencer Confidential.
He wouldn't read the name Spencer, just so everybody knows. So, Spencer Confidential had Post Malone in it. Yes. He was in, the very beginning of that movie as well, in prison. He was also in that movie for a very short period of time.
But I think he does an all right job.
I never saw that movie, but I remember Mark Wahlberg... Because he's, you know, an okay actor, but also the fact that he said that he could do 40 pull-ups, clean ones, and it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life on Ellen.
What?
I'll show you the video afterward. Okay. He says, I could do, like, they ask him how many pull-ups he could do. He's like, I could do 40. Clean ones. And they bring out a pull-up bar, and they are the most...
He does CrossFit pull-ups?
Most unclean pull-ups I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think he gets anywhere close to 40. But all that being said, Post Malone is barely in this movie.
I thought he was in better shape.
Honestly,
I think it was before he lost all the weight.
He was looking a little rough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does look super thin now, like thin as a rail.
Speaking about body weight, I was very interested in this, and I wanted to say before we start getting into nitty-gritty... So Conor McGregor gained 30 pounds of muscle, allegedly, from him. He said, the fighter himself claimed months ago that he gained 15 kilograms of muscle, quote unquote, and not a drop of fat, 33 pounds. Then after the movie, Conor McGregor weighed 170 before, and then after filming, he weighed 200 flat. Then Jake Gyllenhaal weighed in at the beginning of the movie at 205, and at the end, he weighed 184. So, they definitely put on some muscle for this movie, because Jake Gyllenhaal looks really good, and Connor looks huge, but he was definitely on roids. He was definitely taking tests. The way his delts were capped, dude, he was on tests. It's fine, it's fine.
I knew this episode was going to go into this.
Dude, you got a bunch of shirtless dudes fighting.
Okay, so here's something I wanted to say, one of the things I had a thought on during this whole, like, film, watching this whole movie. Actually, it's a question for you guys. I'd like to start a segment.
Okay.
For movies like this.
Hell yeah.
What's the segment?
I would like it to be called Buff Bod Review. And I just want to pick one of the big dudes from the movie and get into like their physique.
Yeah. I'm so down with that.
I mean, like, honestly,
of course you are.
This was such a big dudes. Like, we did Predator. Predator had some of the most buff dudes.
We could have done a whole separate episode on Predator.
It was insane.
Sweaty men.
Yeah, buff dudes in that episode. Honestly, we picked the biggest guy from the movie, and we talk about how big they are in comparison to like just the role that they're in.
We could do, yeah, like you said. Okay, yeah, we'll pick. So you want us to pick what?
Buff Bob or dude? Actually, it could be male or female because we could have a really muscular like woman in the movie too. That actually kind of segues into what I one of the other pieces I had. I had the movies of 2024 because that's the year this was released, and you know we got to cover other movies that are in this year.
Newest movie?
One of the movies was Love Lies Bleeding, which is a Kristen Stewart film. Oh. You know, with God, I forget what the other actor's name that plays her dad is, but that has a very very buff woman in one of the main roles. Dave Franco's in that movie, and Ed Harris is also in that movie. But yeah, I know it's in theaters right now. I kind of want to see it. But other releases from this year so far:
okay.
Dune Part 2, Madam Web, Argyle, Spaceman, which is the Adam Sandler movie, which I've watched. I'm keeping up on my Adam Sandlers. Mean Girl. Oh, by the way, Jackie Sandler was not in this movie or the previous three.
Okay, good. Thank God. All right.
So Mean Girls, which I haven't seen. I'm not too interested in seeing it because it's a musical, but I probably will end up seeing it because Mean Girls was a great movie.
Oh, the original.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which is in theaters
currently. I feel like that's going to be a good one.
What? I've heard really good things about it from, like, oh, the trailer looks great and stuff. I don't like... I've made this point very clear multiple times. I don't like reboots, and I don't like sequels. So... That's kind of a double whammy. But, all right. So I'm not super excited to go see it, but yeah. I might see it when it comes out. Ricky Stenicki, that's a Amazon Prime straight to video. I actually watched that last week. Pretty okay. I wouldn't, you know, okay. Wouldn't say run screaming to grab it, but if you want to watch a good movie, it's pretty good. Funny. The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. Love Lies Bleeding, as I said, and Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
I wanted to see your, what is it, your one? Or what is it? The new one with Godzilla? Or is it X or something? I can't remember. It's a new one that just came out. Not with Kong, it's the one right before it.
Oh, I don't know.
It was all in Japanese. Either way, I wanted to see that one for a while. But
yeah, those are the new movies. Sorry, my Buff Bod review is the reason that I got there, because I was talking about Love Lies Bleeding. That has a very buff lady in it. Yeah, I think that would be a fun thing to do at the end. Like, just for us, like, you know, let's just pick somebody. And then we give them a number, or, like, rate their physique, you know. In this movie, we could pick either Conor McGregor or Jake Gyllenhaal.
I already know what my answer is. Anyway.
you can tell me whichever. I don't mind one way or the other. I just think it would be funny to do. Because they're, like... Again, we've done some other movies where they're just, like, really big buff people, and I think it's kind of a, like, a, you know, it should be acknowledged. It's a lot of hard work that goes in that. I actually looked at, like, the workout program that Jake Gyllenhaal did to get into shape.
Oh, was it crazy?
It was pretty intense. Actually, Jake Gyllenhaal, he said he loves working out, and that's something he does all of the time, regardless of whether it's for a role or not. His dad instilled into him when he was really young that he should, like, you know, to start your day that way.
Based.
So he should start his day working out and, you know, being healthy. And that's what he does. He gets a little bit crazy whenever he's getting ready for a role like this or Southpaw, you know, like, well, one of the more intensive roles.
The last movie I saw with him, with Jake Gyllenhaal in it, was Nightcrawler. And he played a super skinny guy.
I love that movie. That's a very fantastic movie. Another question actually segues... Mm. Into another question I had for you guys, because I have kind of fallen off. I don't really have, like, any, like, other than just asking you, like, would either of you be a bouncer in a place in the Southeast? I feel like that's a dumb question. Jake Gyllenhaal has been in 75 movies.
What the fuck?
Yep. 75 movies, according to an interview with where Conor McGregor looked to be stoned or drunk.
Pretty Conor of Conor.
And he kept saying that Jake has been in 75 films, and he has been in 75 bar fights, is, you know, just kind of a joke he was making. What is your favorite Jake Gyllenhaal movie? If you have one, do you... Because there are some good Jake Gyllenhaal movies out there. I'm a big Jake Gyllenhaal fan. There is one that was so bizarre. I really enjoyed it, but there are, like... Honestly, he's been in enough movies. We could do a top five Jake Gyllenhaal movies.
We definitely could.
Podcast, and it would be okay. There is one movie that I would recommend to everybody, but there's no way that it probably stops most people within, like, the first, like, 2 minutes of watching it. It's ridiculous.
Brokeback Mountain.
No, not, I.
It's a good movie. No, have you actually watched it?
Yes, I've watched
it. It's a good movie.
It's yours.
What? No. Right?
Yeah.
I got two Jake Gyllenhaal movies, and I don't know which one's better than which.
The one that I was talking about is called Nocturnal Animals.
I've seen that.
And
it is weird.
The opening credit scene is like 2 minutes of obese women like dressed in lingerie dancing, and it's part of an art exhibition, but they don't say that until like that's the credits. The credits open with that, and you're just kind of like, what am I...
Dude, I was so lost in that entire watching? Movie.
That movie is crazy, and, like, it's very, like, story-driven, but, like, it's telling the same story from different perspectives at the same time, and it's, or not different perspectives, but like a stylized version of the story at the same time, which I thought
it
had
a good cast in it. But yeah. I don't want to get too off topic, but
no, sorry,
I've been begging to find it. So his wife,
mm-hmm.
is she reading the book, or did that actually happen to her?
Oh, okay. So you're talking about Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah, I'm talking
about
Nocturnal Animals. I don't mean to get too sidetracked, but it's.
So I'll answer that question because I brought up the movie. That's probably one that I would recommend people watch. It's probably not my favorite one. I probably would throw something else out there. Yeah. But in that movie, he sends her a manuscript about the story. And when you see the jump where Jake Gyllenhaal's character and like the two other women in the car, and stuff, that's the story. But there are flashbacks in the movie that are telling the same story, but for like to him in real life. So that's the story that's being told is about a man who loses his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
In the real world, he loses his wife and daughter. But we can talk more about it after, because I don't want to get too spoily with it. But I would recommend that movie highly. It's a
I'm glad you killed him.
It's a weird movie, but it's very good. So what do you got?
I don't know which one's better than which, but Jarhead and Prisoners
is good too.
What
are you thinking?
Well, let me lead with this.
Yeah, go for it.
When you picked this movie, I'll be honest, I was like, ugh, for two reasons. One, I don't like Conor McGregor. Two, I don't like Jake Gyllenhaal.
What?
Let me finish. Let me cook.
He doesn't even know what that means.
He learned this phrase from one of his kids earlier today.
No, I learned it from you in the last episode.
Oh, no.
Am I not using it right?
No, you're doing it right. I feel like now we can't use it anymore because an old person has said it, even though you're younger than I am.
After watching this movie, I have more respect for the guy.
And this movie gave you respect for him?
Yeah.
But boy, I'm about to put you on.
Let me cook.
Oh, my God.
No. Out of those 75 movies, I've only seen probably three.
Donnie Darko.
No. I watched October, and I remember.
Oh, Red October.
I watched October Sky in high school.
What's wrong with me?
In high school.
Yeah.
The other movie I did like with him in it that I did watch was Stronger.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one.
That one was pretty good. So those are my top two, I think, for me. The one movie I do want to see that I have not seen, which I heard is fantastic, is Southpaw. I've heard it's really good.
Southpaw's fun.
I haven't watched it yet, but after watching this, I want to.
Yeah, so. I would say if you like seeing big muscly Jake Gyllenhaal, it's kind of a down and out story. It's good. It's a redemption kind of story. It's cool. But yeah, there are some other good ones in there. Like Nightcrawler is really good. I would recommend that one. It might not be your speed.
I'm intrigued with that one now too. Since you had
brought it up. Well, that was Nocturnal Animals. There are a lot of good ones. Yeah. I could give you a list, but they're good. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to derail everything. But I just wanted to ask that question because when I heard that he had that many movies, I was like, oh my God, that's so many. I love it. He's in another movie called Demolition, which is fantastic. Most of the movies I've seen him in, he's just great. End of Watch.
I totally forgot.
I forgot. Fuck. The cop movie. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. That movie was so good.
He's really good in that, too. Yeah. There are a ton of movies where he is just good. He's good, and he does a good... Here's another one for you. Bubble Boy.
I've never seen Bubble Boy.
Bubble Boy is unhinged funny. It's been since like high school since I've watched it. I should watch it again. It's very weird and funny, but it's like it's also a remake of Bubble Boy, or not necessarily the boy in the bubble.
Oh, okay.
It's not necessarily a remake. John Travolta and a boy in the bubble, but Bubble Boy is way different. It is a kid traveling across country in a bubble suit that he has made
for like his girlfriend or something
to win the heart of the girl who he loves. That's like she's gonna get married or something like that, and he's just like trying to stop it, but it's great. So, I don't have any gross on this.
I couldn't find anything on that either.
It's because it's just straight to Amazon.
Really. This movie's so new that the facts isn't long either.
So that so I found out the budget of the movie. $85 million was the budget.
Jesus Christ.
Which was probably mostly mostly CGI.
Yep.
There is a scene in this movie that made me want to throw up with the amount of, like, just, this is fucking terrible CGI. Was it the boat? Was the boat. The boat is so bad with CGI.
Wait, the boom or the...
Everything after. Like, the boom and everything after.
The boom.
Like, it goes on. So we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get into that. But it was insanity
to me. Do you want to go over the ratings?
Yeah, if you want to go over the ratings, it'd be great.
So for IMDb, I got a 6.2 out of 10. For the tomato meter, yep. I got a 61. The audience, 55. And I'm adding in Metacritic. They give it a 57%. At a runtime of 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 24 seconds.
I think mine might have been rounded up to, 121. So mine was like... Mine is what IMDb said, 121 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys want me to do kill count before we get into facts and other stuff?
Yeah, I want to hear the KD ratio.
So, if you haven't watched it already, please go watch it. It's fun. You'll have a good time. And I think, I will say it's probably not for everybody. If you're looking for a movie where you're really going to have to think and, put your brain through the ringer, concentrate on the movie, then go find something fucking else.
Do you remember
go watch Whiplash that I told you to watch 3 weeks ago. Whatever. Go watch that shit instead of this, because in this movie, you go in, you shut your mind off, you watch big guy hit other big guy, and that's what you do.
Do you remember how I was telling you guys about Jason Statham-esque movies? That is what I'm talking about. That is a Jason Statham-esque movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that every so often, but, like, it's again... It's not one that's breaking the record books. Yeah. You're just kind of like...
It was a paycheck.
You're on a ride. So, in this movie, do you guys want to take a guess on how many deaths there were?
I'm going to say 24. Way off? I don't know what that meant.
The meaning of life, 42.
What?
You ever seen that movie?
No.
So long and thanks for all the fish. No,
I do.
It's a book. It's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and then it was made into a movie. Okay. Sorry, I'm a snob. Anyway, there were five.
Oh god, damn!
That was it.
So we have Dell, who gets eaten.
Oh yeah. Which was pretty cool.
Vince, who gets killed by Dalton,
crushed windpipe.
And then the UFC fighter in the flashbacks that Dalton's having. And then we have Sam, who gets hit by a boat. And then Ben was killed by Knox. Breaks his neck.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal killed Knox.
Nope.
What? Was there a Marvel ending credits that I
didn't see? Yeah, you did.
There is a post credit scene with Knox that you missed. I kind of knew you were... He messaged us before he came over to watch or to record the podcast, and he said, "Hey guys, I'm finishing the movie now. I'll be over as soon as I can." And then he rushed over here. I'm assuming as soon as the credits
As the credits hit,
you shut the movie off.
He's not.
Yep.
He walked.
What?
He walked right out of the hospital.
Yeah. What?
So I know I yelled at Chandler last week and said no movie during the podcast. I'm going to put the end credits on for a split second and shut it off afterward. But it's going to be muted. Nobody will know. But I just want Mason to see the end credit scene.
What the fuck? I missed the Marvel post credit scene.
Yes, it wasn't that far into the credits either. No, to be honest.
Dude, I knew it was over.
Hold on a minute. Let me see here. So at the end of the movie, 107, Ben gets his throat snapped. Hold on a minute. Then at 110, the bar. Yeah, so they're at 110, and then at 114 is the post credit scene. So I have my last note on like what's happening on those moments.
How could you think Conor McGregor died?
How dare you?
What are they going to do, make a Roadhouse 2?
They actually talked about that and something that I was...
What?
Yeah, there actually was a sequel to Roadhouse.
Yeah, it was like 66 or 69 or...
Roadhouse 2 was a thing that happened. I think it was like a straight-to-DVD release kind of thing. But yeah, Did you like Roadhouse? Well, then how's about Roadhouse?
What? What?
That's all he needs to see right there.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the end of the movie, there's a big fight scene, obviously, and Knox and Dalton get into a fight, and Dalton stabs Knox a bunch, and then at the end of the movie, Dalton's or Knox is laying there dying, one would assume, but he ends up just walking out during the post-credit scene. He just breaks out of the hospital that he was in, seemingly dead, but he wasn't dead.
He got stabbed in the leg, stabbed in the kidney.
Yep.
And two in the clavicle.
Yep. He got stabbed like at least five times during that. Like,
getting last stabbed in this movie is like getting a cut on your fucking knee. It's
but he's okay. Conor McGregor.
There are so many scenes where the guys are so badass that they can't be hurt. Like there are so many like, oh no big deal, big guy. Like the, and then there's also like the poor other dudes in this. Like there are like two big dudes in this movie, right? Like Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal. Those are the two big dudes. And everybody else, you might as well just understand that you signed up to be in a movie to have your ass beat, because that's what it is. Like Billy's getting his ass beat, Reef's getting his ass beat, like just everybody's getting beat up
except for Carter.
But Jake Gyllenhaal's getting punched in the face and just kind of like smiling it off. Like it's very.
It's funny. One thing that didn't like.
Carter fights at the beginning and like or Carter being Post Malone. Yeah. We can start getting into the movie too. Okay. So we open in a big warehouse fight scene where we're following Frankie, who is the owner of the Roadhouse, right?
Roadhouse.
And she shows up and she's looking for Carter, who is apparently a big name underground boxer, I guess. It's Post Malone's character. Yeah. And he's currently in the process of fighting a very large man. And while he's fighting this very large man, he's like dancing and just kind of like having a good time with it. He beats that man. And then shortly thereafter, Jake Gyllenhaal's character enters the fray to, you know, fight for money. And Carter just immediately sees him and goes, no fucking way, and walks out and totally bitches out immediately. And Frankie's like, I was looking for that guy. And he was scared just by this guy walking in. Like, he is, Jake Gyllenhaal's aura was enough to no. We don't fight him. No way. No. So that was interesting. Oh, there was another question I wanted to ask you guys before we get too far in. Did you watch the original movie?
No.
I'm assuming no.
Fuck, no, I didn't.
Chandler did just recently. I watched it like 7 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have a little bit of a balance of like I can kind of vaguely remember stuff. You probably have a better understanding. I know you didn't finish it.
I watched both the other night back to back. New one first, old one second.
Which one was better?
The new one.
What?
I swear to God. And the old one is an 80s movie.
Yeah, it is kind of wild.
Really?
And no. I turned it off.
I will say,
really?
Yes.
I will say that the both of them are very, very long movies, and they don't need to be as long as they are.
Is it? I don't want to skip ahead, but does the original Roadhouse turn into, is his name Dylan in the original?
Dalton.
Yeah. Dalton turn into like some secret special force operator who knows how to blow shit up? Like, does that happen in the 80s, or is it just he's a bouncer? Just fighting people at the bar, whether that be...
The 80s one is a little more simplified.
Yeah, he becomes just like a walking weapon kind of thing, but he's not like making bombs or doing anything like that. He's
because
just
that's what this movie muscle. Did. It got really into
it got wild.
And I'm like, right? You're a bouncer at a bar who used to fight in the UFC.
Yes, okay. We'll let it simmer. All right.
I will say this:
if
the old one didn't have Patrick Swayze in it, it's a complete dud.
It's it also, the old one also doesn't make any sense if you think about it from
a
standpoint
of it's a little far-fetched.
It is a movie about a man whose job is that he is just really good at making wild bars, like it's like Bar Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
But with a guy that goes in and beats people up. Like, that's what it is. And it's very just like, this is this guy's job? Like, it's just what he does? Like,
he's supposed to make the bar better just by staying there.
Just by being there, right?
Yeah, no, that's not...
that's not a thing. But yeah, that's his job in the original movie. In this one, he's specifically scouted by Frankie, who's looking for someone else. And then, yeah, this is wild, too. Like you said, so he goes... He's leaving after winning... right? By just walking into the ring. He's leaving this like underground fight, and a dude comes walking up. He's like, "Hey, asshole, I lost a lot of money because of you," and just stabs him in the parking lot. And he just like takes it. Nothing happens.
No.
In fact, he pulls like duct tape out and hands it over to Frankie to help him patch himself up.
If I got stabbed, I'm going to scream and wail.
I'm crying. I'm going to the hospital. I'm not thinking, oh, you know what? I can't afford the copay. Like, that's not what I'm doing.
Why pay it at all? You're already poor.
I'm stabbed. Help me. Okay. So he gets approached by Frankie, who says, "Hey, I have a bar. It's called the Roadhouse. I need you to come to it and help, you know, make it good." And he said, "Oh, you came here because she was looking for Carter." And she says something to him about that. And he's like, "Go with the other guy.
Yeah.
He's better suited. I'm not the guy." She's like, "No, I think you're the guy. I want you to come." And he's like, "Not the guy." So he turns her down, but she hands him a card anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Then
he goes to kill
him. Then he goes, he sits his ass on a railroad track to take himself out. And it's like, what the fuck is that?
Which I don't understand why. You just won money. You just won. You got money. And some chick offers you a job. And you're like, I'm going to go kill myself.
It's a weird place because he doesn't enter that like mindset ever again.
Yeah,
in the movie. In fact, it's a funny thing. So in the original Roadhouse movie, he has a very old shitty car, and he is very attached to the very old shitty car, and it looks very similar to the one that's in this movie. And then in the beginning of this movie, he just immediately gets it fucked up and doesn't have a car the rest of the movie. But in the original, his car is just constantly getting shit on, and he actually makes. It kind of attaches him to the business, right? Mm-hmm. So in this movie, he befriends a bookstore. So he shows up in town, which happens very shortly after his car accident.
Failed suicide attempt.
Rides a bus into town, and he gets a book for a tree. Also, did you guys notice the name of the restaurant, I think, that was
right next door?
Yeah,
it's right next door. The original name in the first movie.
The Double Deuce, is the original name of the bar in the original movie. So he gets a book from this place about a tree. Was it Fred the Tree or something like that?
Something like that.
Bob or Fred, I can't remember.
Something very simple. Just talking about the tree that's on the other bridge that's decommissioned.
Had nothing to do with anything.
No, nothing at all. Doesn't tie back at all. I actually kind of thought that maybe it would at some point, but it never did. Other than just like she hands him a book and that's it. But in the original movie, there's an enduring factor of like, oh, he's got to get his car fixed all the time. So he makes friends with the guy that owns the car, like a car parts place, and that they burn down his store. And that's that story element, right? Yeah. But in this movie, he just makes friends with these people when he shows up, and that's the long and short of it. I'm not trying to compare these two movies. They're very different. Like, they are very different, although the same. Like, I don't know. Like,
same idea, same, some of the same character names.
Where did it take place in the first one?
Oh, definitely not in
Kansas City, I think.
Mm. Yeah, definitely not near water at all. Like the water.
Remember in the original, Patrick Swayze has that Mercedes under a car cover with a New York license plate, but the guy wants him to drive to Kansas City to work at his bar.
You know more than I do.
I just watched it.
Yeah, it's been like 6-7 months since I've watched
it. But yeah, there's similarities, but the stories are different.
Yeah. But it is like, again, I don't think it's I almost feel like it's a reimagining of the original movie, opposed to a remake, which is great. I don't mind that at all. So we're with Dalton. Dalton shows up, he gets his book, and then he goes to the Roadhouse. And there's another similarity that pops up. He asks for a coffee black, and they're like, "We don't have that." And in the original movie, they had like he's never drinking. He's constantly drinking coffee. And then what was it? What was the drink that he drinks in this one? Was it like a Cuban coffee?
Yeah, it was like a cappuccino or something.
Yeah, it's just like a sweet coffee.
Yeah,
and he's like, ooh. Mm.
Yeah,
and he's like, that's gonna be dangerous or something like that. He's like, oh, I'm gonna be drinking these a lot. So like, and again, we don't see him drink liquor.
Any liquor or beer ever.
He does drink beer.
What?
When they go on their date.
Oh.
I honestly made the same mistake the other day. I was talking to my fiance. He did drink a beer on that date. But yeah, he's just always wants to stay in his right frame of head, I guess. But yeah, he shows up at the bar and he's like, just kind of like taking in the city. He even makes a comment. He's like, it's a really nice place you got here. Mm-hmm. A little calm. And they're like, they all make a face. There is one thing that I wanted to, and another thing I wanted to ask you guys. Okay, so this is going to sound judgy, but I'm not trying to be judgy in any way, shape, or form.
No, we judge here.
I'm just remembering the original movie. There were a ton of, like, they made it, like, it was like really hot guys, really hot girls, right? In this movie, were there any hot girls? It was all hot dudes. Not that, like, I don't have a problem with there being hot dudes, but there were no, like, it wasn't like, it wasn't anything like I kept seeing when we meet his like counterpart, his like the girl character that
she was nice.
She wasn't like gorgeous in any way, shape, or form. She was
there's one
like,
that sticks out.
I think it was her hair was like always fucked up looking, so it was kind of like eh. But like other than that, there were maybe four women in this movie, and it was just like.
The one that stuck out the most to me was when Conor McGregor comes in and goes, why don't you come dance with me?
Oh, he wants to dance with the girl?
And then the guy's like, that's my girlfriend! She was hot. And she was just a background character.
I thought that was weird. Like, again, I'm not like...
Well, I mean...
I don't need... Like, I'm...
The owner was kind of hot.
Believe me, when it comes to these movies...
The owner was kind of hot, though.
I don't need there to be a relationship aspect of any, like, in any movie. I don't care. If the movie is good without it, if you don't need it, don't do it. But at the same time, it was like, there was one, like, there's, like, some elements, like, of, like, you know, you got, like, hot actor, but there was, like, no, like, hot
yeah, female actress
that was, like, alongside him, which, you know, that works. It's fine. Yeah. But like, at the same time, I was just like...
It's just that movie trope.
I was completely fine with it, but it was just like, this is weird because they didn't do that. Like, it seems like an easy... They're in like the Florida Keys, like where it would be easy to do that, but they just like, they focused on the dudes, which I thought was like, hey man, that's cool. Whatever you're going to do. Like, because that's really what it was about. It was about like big dude versus big dude.
Testosterone.
Like, yeah. And the woman that was running the bar, like you said, good-looking woman, smart woman, because she went and found a person to like take care of business, and she also was savvy enough to lie and all of that. But yeah, it was just like, it was kind of weird, because it was like, there's an opportunity here that they chose actively not to take, and I was like, not saying anything negative about any of the female actresses in the movie, but just none of them stood out against the cast of like
men.
Really built dudes that they had set up, which I thought was funny. I was like, it's almost kind of like Predator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Predator had like six big dudes in it, and one like very one small girl that was like they didn't exploit in any which way at all. She was just wearing like fully clothed and like traumatized the whole time, which you know. Great, like if that's the way the movie should be, that's the way it is, and that's good. But just that it threw me off. I was like, that's weird. They had so many opportunity, but they, and I think even like there's scenes where like there's girls dancing on the table, they're just fully clothed, like girls dancing on a table, and they get pulled down by the two dudes that are big dudes and just they're like normal looking dudes, and they just all everything is fine. Which I like again. I'm not advocating one way or the other. Like, I actually prefer it when there's no, if there doesn't have to be a side story about like, oh, we're going to get in a relationship and I'm going to fall in love. I don't want that
Which
shit.
Is what I felt what they did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt like that was forced. Like, especially at the hospital. I was like, yeah, I already know where this is going.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's because of the original movie. Because that happened in the original movie.
Uh-oh.
He gets there's a love interest. But there's a point, though, at which, like, when they go on their date, he's just like, you don't want to be a part of it. Like, you don't want to know me. I'm a piece of shit. You don't. And she's like, no, I do want to know you. And he's like, nah, I don't think you do.
You know who... I was watching it. Mm-hmm. You know who's a giant cuck?
Ben?
No, not Ben. The biggest cuck in this movie is Ellie's ex-boyfriend. Oh. Just let's fucking Jake Gyllenhaal just take the goddamn boat. And he goes, you got 2 hours! Like, you cuck! You're a cop!
Yeah, there is a... Like, it is a weird relationship, right?
Between
like,
her ex
and... she's constantly calling him, too. Is like, I guess, like... I don't know.
I got big cuck vibes from him. Like, they're definitely still dating, but he's like, you can go on.
Yeah, whatever. Go on dates, whatever.
We can go back to the hotel and I can sit in the
chair. There's only like 17 people in this town, whatever. Like, you're not going to find anybody better than me. It's fine.
Jesus.
So, in the scenes where it was showing the UFC fight,
yeah.
Do you know what UFC fight that was? Because they filmed it.
285, right?
It was 285.
Yes.
So, it was 285. And that main, like, the actual UFC 285 fight was with John Jones and Cyril Gane.
Okay.
So, that was pretty interesting.
I did see that. Again, like, honestly, nothing really happens at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
It's
just exposition.
Dalton shows up. We see him at the bar. He fights, he doesn't fight anybody initially. He lets Billy handle most of the fighting, and then the gang shows up, right, with Dell and Mo, who is fucking hilarious and funny. Very good comic relief. Actually, yeah. I'm going to look that dude up, because he was very good.
The only thing that cracks me up with both movies is, I mean, I'm sure you would know better than anybody with, you know, you actually being a bouncer,
yeah.
But it just cracks me up with both movies where the emphasis they put on how easy it is to start a fight in a bar, like,
dude,
people just I mean if you go off the two movies, all you gotta do is mean mug somebody and you're getting a glass thrown at your head, like,
dude. The one that, so obviously it's a movie, but there is never that much talking in a fight. And it's not like two people staring each other down. It just happens. Like, it's like someone steps on your shoe and they're like, fuck you, and like, then it just happens. Like, there's no, like, before they fight they're talking, like,
there's a build up, like,
there's
hey buddy, sit down, that guy's not giving you a warning, he's coming up and punching you in the back of the head, right?
Like, so the one scene that I thought that was like pretty accurate was when he was like, let me go talk to you outside, like, that was, you know, the job of a bouncer is not to beat the fuck out of people in the bar. It's to de-escalate the situation and get them out.
Get them out of the bar, right?
Like, when Billy comes up, taps the guy on the shoulder, and just punches him in the face, I'm like, no, it's not your job. You just escalated the situation. You're an assaulter now. Hey, like,
be nice. Be nice.
Be nice until it's time not to be nice.
Right.
But look, the difference is like, if you're bouncing and you get punched in the face, you have full obligation to do whatever you want because you're defending yourself. But you're not going to go out of your way
to punch somebody in the face. Yeah.
So Jake had some good lines in this.
He did.
He had a good couple one-liners in this too. It was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, he had some very good one-liners. And it was a very fun movie.
Do you have health insurance?
Yeah, that was because you're gonna need it. So that's the scene. He pulls Dell out, and again he's getting them out of the bar. He's like, "Hey, are those your bikes outside?" And then Mo, and the actor that played Mo was Arturo Castro. Mm-hmm. That was his name. He's like, "Yeah, my bike's the one on the end. It's red." And then he's like, "Wait, hold on." And they like start running out of the bar to go stop him from fucking with their bikes. And then he beats him up, and then that's how we end up with him meeting Ellie, the love interest of the movie, which doesn't ultimately go anywhere, but it's, you know, it's how he's occupying his time, I guess. But he ends up going there. He beats everybody up.
Drives
them personally to the... He's like, he's like the nicest car.
He's like the nicest guy on the planet.
That's what he says later on. So we end up with Mo's character talking to Ben Brandt, who is the bad guy, right? And he's asking him questions. He's like, he's actually kind of a weird guy. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, he beat the shit out of us, but then he was really nice about it. Like, he was like smiling all until he did it, and then he was really nice. He took us to the hospital. He was a really cool guy. It's just a very like, what the fuck is going on? it was interesting to see the intro of the villain in this movie. Was the weirdest fucking intro for
shaved on a boat.
He wants to get shaved on a boat and sailing in the ocean, and it's very clear that it's rocky waves, and he's like, no, the captain informed me that we would have smooth sailing, even though it is very clearly rocky sailing.
He keeps getting mad at the guy shaving at him.
He keeps getting his face cut by the dude shaving him as he's yelling at his like underlings. It is the most like It's like why? It's like he's trying to be intimidating.
Yeah.
He's not.
And he's not good at it.
Yeah.
Because he was handed this position from his father who went to jail, right? He's not as bad of a guy as his... I feel like that might be it. Maybe that's what they're trying to portray in the scene, is like, he's trying to be cool, but he's very clearly not cool. Yeah. Like and then he goes up and punches the fucking captain in the face because he's the one that told him it was going to be smooth sailing. And he also tells the crew of dudes, he's like, just go back to my father's house and make yourself at home or some shit like that. And then later yells at them for doing the thing that he said. But...
No, McGregor's definitely the main villain in this movie.
Yeah, sure. he becomes like once he gets called in, it just becomes out of control.
I feel like when McGregor came on set, the director was like, "Just be you, just be you, be a giant dick like you are in real life. Just be you."
Did you guys have a problem with the way that he walked?
That's his walk. He's got invisible lat syndrome.
That's how he always walks.
What? Is that a real thing, what you just said?
Or invisible lat syndrome, where you see guys walk around like this?
I feel like, I was like, when I talked to my fiance while we were watching this, I was like, I feel like he's like constantly pretending to walk into a ring. Like, that's what he's like doing, his ring walk every time. And like, honestly, he sounded like Popeye at moments too.
I got a message from your father.
Oh, God. Dude. It was wild. Like, his intro was wild, but I'm trying to see if there's anything before that that kind of...
I don't really care for him.
That was it was his first movie, and honestly, I feel like they did a good job of, like, picking a role for him.
Picking a dickhead to play a dickhead. Like,
we're going to make it so this character has one, like, setting, so you don't have to have a bunch of settings, like, in your acting. Like, you don't have to pretend to be sad or anything like that. You just have to pretend to be insane, which you're pretty good at already, so you can do that. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Ben Brandt's boat. Dalton teaches Billy how to balance, so we get, like, a little bit of a... We get a little bit of a, like, just a montage of, like, Billy getting some education from Dalton, showing him how to handle somebody with a knife and all that fun stuff.
Which, okay...
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
How the fuck did... There's no doorman at the bar? You have five bouncers and not one doorman?
What do you mean there's five? There's only two bouncers. It's him and Billy.
There's Billy, there's the mixed dude, and...
There's three total.
Oh, okay.
It's a Reef, which also, he gets hired... Because he wasn't, apparently... Reef didn't work directly in the bar until... Dalton goes and hires him after he stretched. Like, so there was like an homage kind of scene where he's like doing like pull ups on the boat, and then stretching and doing like sit ups on the boat and sitting on the beach. And then he goes and he hires. He's like, he used to box, because he's looking at his scars on his hands. He's like, oh yeah, used to. He's like, you still hit the bag? And then he like, come work. And like, he invites him to come work. So it's just those three.
Well, still, either way. You don't have a fucking doorman? You don't have no one checking ID? What, did they just let 16-year-olds just walk in?
They don't have a mason.
I'm not a doorman. I'm a walker.
Oh, I'm so sorry to offend you. I'm sorry.
Jesus. No, but I mean, like, honestly, you walk into a bar, 9 times out of 10, there's a guy at the bar, at the front door, checking IDs and checking for weapons.
Yeah. Well, and that's the difference between this one and the old one. In the old one, he shows up at the bar, the new bar that he has to work at. He already has a crew to work with. They're a bunch of jackasses.
Yeah, there's like six or seven dudes. Yeah.
So in this one, he actually goes out and
has to recruit a little bit. Yeah. Which, you know, it's fine. They also have like a montage of him training people in the original movie too. But like, again, it's a lot. Like, again, I feel like these movies could be shortened significantly. I don't think we need as much as we get. 2 hours?
I don't think it felt that long.
It felt long.
We got the conch soup scene where he's getting told conch and conch.
I don't know why that had to be a thing.
That was a whole section, and she's talking about her hair. And I gotta be fair. Like, I gotta be fair. The guy like that was shitting on her for her hair. I feel like I agree with him. then we have like. We have the bouncing montage, that there's like the scenes like where Billy and Brief are throwing people out. Then there's this, like, there's a guy in that I wanted to point out. That Dalton, like, he's like, he dude reaches over the bar, he's a drunk, and he's he's like, you again, and he's like, oh, you've never seen me before, and then he knows his name and he throws him out. I almost feel like they cut like some scenes out, right? Like,
yeah,
because like he knows his name and he's like identified him and stuff like that, and like we only see this guy one time ever, and he's just like, they made it look like he's a reoccurring problem, but he's only been in one scene, and that's just weird. Oh, and then Dalton's almost hit by a truck. This is where things start to get serious.
That was very random, but
yeah,
it's, and that was also some really bad CGI too.
Yeah,
the truck itself. Wow.
Oh yeah. Why do you think they had it happen at night? Same thing with the crocodile.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah, so that the Adele tries to hit Dalton with a car to make it look like a car accident killed him.
But, it's my fucking truck.
And wrecks his girlfriend's truck. And then after that, he shows up and is just sitting in Dalton's boat, which is called the boat, and has a shotgun pointed at him. And then like Dalton immediately disarms him and gets the gun off him and throws him in the water. And then he gets eaten by a fucking crocodile.
See. As me being a bouncer,
please.
If I'm walking the fuck home and someone tries to hit me with a car, and I know it's because I work at the bar,
yeah,
I'm not showing up for my neck. $5,000? I don't give a fuck.
Really?
$5,000?
You want to go back?
Fuck no.
That's a lot of money just to show up.
Just to show up and then look around my back every corner.
Listen, he knows. He killed the guy. It's fine. He killed him with a crocodile. He doesn't need to worry about it.
I don't like how they portray the keys as dangerous as they do in this movie.
Yeah, like, keys are just a bunch of old fucking people.
I had read that some people were actually mad how the movie made that area look.
So... So there was actually something that came up earlier. We were talking about, I think you mentioned the director. The director's name, or I forget what it is off the top of my head right now, but like when you mentioned the director was actually super pissed off because this movie was supposed to go to theaters.
Really?
He was told that when he filmed this movie...
I thought it was going to theaters.
And then it got bought by Amazon and was going to go... And he was super pissed off about it and like was like very vocal about like
really
being upset that it went like to straight to DVD, essentially. He's like, this is fucking horseshit. I made a movie to go to the movie theaters. Because if it goes... You know, if it doesn't go to theaters, then it's not eligible for like awards or anything like that.
Yeah. I hate to break it to him, it wasn't going to win any. So
yeah, that's true. So Dalton kills Adele.
Yeah.
Gotta ask you guys a question at this point. Could you follow the crime aspect of this movie? Could you follow the bad guy's like crime empire / what he was trying to do, because it took me 2 watches to figure out exactly what was happening in this fucking movie when it came to that.
His dad just owns the town. He built it from nothing and then they want it back.
I had no idea what the hell he was wanting until they showed the scale model of that resort.
I didn't even see that. Oh, they were trying to build a resort.
They were wanting to build a resort. I mean, the idea is a typical 80s idea. You know, you cause all this havoc and violence so you can build something, I guess. So they knocked that out of the park, I guess. But yeah, I didn't watch it twice, but it took me a minute to figure out what the hell the guy was even wanting out of it.
Yeah, but what? Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question here.
I almost knocked over your tray.
No, it's fine. I gotta ask you a question because I got that. I saw the model. I saw what he was planning. Is there more to it? And Dalton's character goes to the bookstore to research the land to see like what anybody want to do with this. And eventually we get to a point where he's looking at the map and he's like, "So could you pull a boat up to the back?
A bunch of reef."
And the girl's like, no, you couldn't pull a boat up to the back because of the reef. He's like, well, and the highway's right there. There's no privacy, so this can't be for, like, drugs. What the fuck do they want to do with this place?
A casino?
So they wanted to build a resort, and on one of the scenes, when he's looking, he's drinking, he has his, like, his turkey, wild turkey on the table, and it's a map. It's a golf course. He wants to put a golf course where... that location is, right? But there's a thing that happens in this fucking movie that drove me nuts because I couldn't figure out why. There is a helicopter drops a container of money off.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Can you tell me what that money's for?
Pay off the police department?
No, it's not, because the police are supposed to take that money to Ben.
They don't really go into detail, do they? He's freaking the fuck out because he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they go into detail about why it's even a thing.
And we never once see any drugs. I watched the movie twice. There's a point at which Dalton, after he... I'm jumping around a little bit here. So Dalton gets hit by the truck. He gets Dell gets eaten, and then the harbor master makes a comment about Dell selling drugs or some shit like that. Then Knox gets called in like South America or the fuck he is, and like is a lunatic.
Oh, he's in Italy.
Is he in Italy?
Because the guy says scusa, and it's excuse me in Italian.
Oh my god. So I guess Knox is in Italy, and we see, which I'm surprised you haven't talked about how this movie's a masterpiece. There's a set of boobies in this movie.
What? Because I took a piss right at that point, and I rewind it because I was looking through my picture and I saw Conor McGregor's ass. Ass.
Yeah, when they said nudity, I just thought it was Conor McGregor's
butt. No, there's when the woman is getting yelled at by her husband that he's jumped down from their balcony, she's topless.
This movie went from a 1 to a 10 really quick.
I didn't catch that either.
He's on the phone with the dad, who is by the way, if he's supposed to be his boss, he is like the worst employee ever.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me that he was just talking to a phone, and then they added the other voice in post because it was just like, let me call you back. Hold on. Like, it's just very, like, very clear that they were not, like, he didn't know what he was being told at that time.
There's Conor McGregor for you.
So Knox enters the picture and he comes flying in. But then we have the date with Ellie, right? So during that date with Ellie, he goes on the boat, and we find out that it's the cop's boat or whatever. But then they get back. At the same time, Knox is showing up in Glass Key to take over the boss's house.
Yeah.
And then Dalton gets back, but then gets taken by the sheriffs. And when he gets taken by the sheriffs, the sheriff Big Dick shows up, and he's like, "Hey, get the fuck out of here." And he's just got, like, he's essentially shaking him down.
Yeah.
The daughter, Ellie, the sheriff's daughter, shows up and says, no, quit fucking around, and like takes Dalton away. While they're driving, she makes a comment that her dad used to work for Ben's dad as he would help with, like, he was bringing money in to run drugs and like boat tours or something like that. And now he works for Ben. So one could infer it's for drugs as well, but like we never see any drugs, but there's a drop off of money from a helicopter, which seemingly looks like it's being dropped off by like government agents too, which really drove me nuts because I was like, I don't know what this is and why it's happening.
It feels like it was half-assed done.
It was very
half-assed. I don't even know if they needed the police in the movie.
They didn't need half the shit in this movie. That's why I was so fucking frustrated. So another piece that I wanted to add on. When Knox shows up at the boss's house, he has a bag with bombs in it. Dynamite or whatever the hell in it. And that's the last, like, we don't see that bag again for a while, right? And then Ben shows up and he's yelling at everybody because they're at his dad's house, and he meets Knox and he's like, "Hey, can I try, you know, doing this like a human being for another try? Like, could I really quick try to do this like a human opposed to like you psychopath?" And he's like, "Go ahead." And then he goes and like he has a conversation with Dalton in the bar where he brings up the flashbacks from the UFC fight. We've been seeing flashbacks during Dalton's like sleep. It's his nightmare or whatever. And then he brings up like, "Hey, you killed your friend." Like, yeah, everybody knows. Which is like, I don't. It's mind boggling to me that like that's like the thing, right? Like that, like that's supposed to like set him off kind of thing. Like he's been like, they've been doing so much other bad shit and he's been dealing with a lot of stuff, but the thing that he's like, I can't bribe you and I can't I was like, I can't pay you to leave, and I can't threaten
you. I'm gonna make you feel
so bad. So I'm gonna make you feel real bad, and then I'm gonna send guys in to beat you up. And like that was like the mastermind plan there, and it was just stupid.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, well, I think maybe before that, Vince, who is another minion of Ben's, goes and burns down the bookstore.
Why?
Because he knows that they're like friends, and he's been hanging out at the bookstore. So like that's
gonna we're hurt gonna really feelings.
Show you. And then when he finds out, he just gets mad, and that's it. And then he goes and kills Vince.
See, yeah, this is what I don't understand. You're a bouncer at a bar. What makes you go on this killing fucking rampage for $5,000 a week?
Well, it's because they made him mad.
He even says in the movie, "Now you made me mad."
Yeah, and I know what happens when I get mad. Mm-hmm. That's really
I
it.
I see red, and I start punching holes in drywall when I get mad.
Clearly, his life is way more simple than normal people. He probably does. Clearly, he has no car. Now he has no car.
Yeah, he has no car. Yeah.
No place to live.
Well, nope. He has the boat.
I bet his credit score is like a 1.2.
I mean, hey.
And, you know, hardly any money.
So this question really don't matter.
I don't know.
His life's way more simple.
Hey.
When you have nothing else to worry about and don't pay taxes and everything else, I mean,
where'd all his money go from the UFC? What'd he do?
That's true. He just squandered it all?
Yeah, apparently. Clearly he has a problem, whether it's drugs or drinking, if that money's all gone.
So Knox shows up at the bar, fights Dalton.
Yeah.
And it's stalemate, right? Like, they're just beating the shit out of each other, but it doesn't look like Dalton's, like, hurt at all, and he just walks away. And then Dalton tells Frankie that he's leaving, because she shows up at the boat. She's like, I know, I didn't tell you everything, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. But, like, listen, we just have to outlast Ben, because Ben is taking money from bad people, and, you know, we just have to wait for him to like not be able to pay it back, and then he'll get killed by these bad people. So no big deal. And then he's like, nah, fuck that, I'm leaving. So he leaves, but when he's leaving, he notices that the bookstore is burned down, and he's like pissed, and he goes to find the party house that all the bad guys live in, and he kills Vince like instantly. And then goes to sleep after putting Vince's body on ice. Actually, he loads Vince's body into a truck, which I think is important. And then he runs into Mo, who tells him, like, hey, I'm actually going to get out of town because shit's fucked here. And these people aren't as nice as I thought they were. And they don't tell me nothing. And he's like, where's Ben at? And he's like, I don't know nothing. But I do know that they're gonna drop a fuck ton of money off at this location. I do know this one super important thing. And then he leaves, and he's just never seen again. But then we have Dalton takes a nap, and then fucking, like, has a nightmare, and we see that he kills the guy in the UFC fight. So that's like, oh, okay, so now we know that he actually did kill the dude.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. And then the sheriff shows up, Dalton goes to the money drop-off with the corpse that he is putting on, that he has put on ice. For some reason, whatever fucking reason that is, he shows up, he knocks out a cop, and then brings the body out, shoots the body, and the cop's like, you're gonna know that the gun didn't kill him.
Trachea.
And he's like, yeah, but it's gonna confuse him. I was like, what the fuck?
What?
Sure, whatever. And then he knocks the cop out and steals the money. And then the sheriff, Big Dick, shows up and's like, hey, Walt Dalton is building a bomb on his boat, which, by the way, is the bombs that Knox brought.
Yeah.
But we never see him get the bombs that Knox brought. The only thing I can think of is that they put them in the truck that he steals?
I would assume, yeah.
Well, he grabbed them probably after he killed that guy in the pool.
Yeah, but they were just there? Like they never show him take them, but he just has them. And knows how to put them together.
Hmm?
That's what I'm saying. How the fuck does it...
It's wild.
He's smart.
It's a wild ride that we're on right now. So it's kind of like, now your brain better be shut off. Because
100%.
Because here's the shit. So the sheriff comes, says, Ellie's been taken, my daughter's been taken, and I told the bad guy it was you. And he's like, you told the bad guy I took it? He's like, you're still going to blame me. He's like, I don't have the money, but I'll go get it. And he goes, steals the boat, doesn't get the money, shows up at the boat with the bomb on it, blows the boat up while we're in a weird scene where we're told oh, they wouldn't take my daughter. We're partners. And he's like, I actually did take your daughter. And Dalton
goes, she's in the fucking boat downstairs.
And Dalton goes, ooh, double cross. And then he's like, they freak out on each other. He goes, ooh, double cross. And it's just like, what the fuck is happening? And then Knox, who has showed up at the party house and no one's there.
Yeah.
Apparently everybody else, like after he killed Vince and Mo left, everybody else decided,
yeah,
fuck this, I'm leaving. And then Knox is there. He shows up. He's like, where the fuck ever is everybody? Yeah. And he shows up in a fucking, like,
a student driver car.
Apparently he's just stealing cars constantly. And then he shows up at the boat in a fucking dinghy, just flying up to it. And Dalton blows up the boat with a bomb that he's put on the ex-boyfriend cop's boat.
Yeah.
And then finds his way through the boat in the worst CGI that I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah.
To find Ellie, who's in the basement of this boat, which is weird to say, just the underside of the boat.
Yeah.
And she's pounding on a window to break the glass open because it's already breaking because of the explosion. And then they get sucked out into the ocean.
Wait, she was in handcuffs, right?
No. I don't think so, no.
So why the...
I don't think she was in handcuffs. Because I'm thinking about, like, she was swimming fine.
Yeah.
She's never in handcuffs.
She was just chilling.
She's in the bottom of the boat.
So why couldn't she, like, you know...
Open the door,
make some noise, and then the sheriff goes, that sounds a lot like my daughter.
My daughter is down there. Yeah, and it's wild.
Maybe she was asleep.
Then Ben says, fuck this shit. She gets on his boat trying to find an escape because he has a smaller boat next to the big fucking yacht that he owns. And then Ben's like, you sit down, I'm gonna kill you, whatever, I'm going to Roadhouse and kill it myself, I'm gonna take care of business. And he starts driving the boat away, and Jake Gyllenhaal's character is in the water still fighting Knox, who is riding around on a dinghy. And then he gets onto the dinghy and delivers one of the best fucking lines of the whole movie when Conor McGregor's character Knox says, ha, this is like our own personal octagon. And he says,
Who taught you shapes?
Wild. Wild line. And then they beat each other up and then end up crashing into the other boat. Ben crashing into the fucking into the Roadhouse is one of the best fucking scenes I've ever seen in my life, because he flies like seven stories into the sky. He's flying. He's actually flying in the scene and slams into the building. And Conor McGregor's character was in a boat accident, but has somehow found his way to a bridge and like climbed up the bridge. Yeah. It's what I watched in the last 20 minutes of this movie was insanity. Like, it was like, I'm describing it now, it sounds crazy. It's because it was fucking crazy. None of it made any sense. They end up in a fucking 5-minute long fight scene at the end where they're punching each other and then eventually stabbing each other. And then at one point, Conor McGregor's character turns on Ben and just snaps his neck.
For no reason.
For no reason. Other than just being upset. Like, that's it. Just kills him. It's like, ah, shut up, boy. And he snaps his neck. And then he goes back to kill. He was already over top of Jake Gyllenhaal. He was over Dalton. He was going to kill him and then just decides not to kill him. I guess not. He goes like, oh, I'll kill you in a second after I kill Ben, who's my boss's son.
Who definitely won't be mad.
Yeah, it was just wild. And they like, yeah. And then he ends up getting stabbed like 5 or 6 times. And dies, seemingly. But he doesn't die, because he comes back in the post-credits scene. But
Marvel!
We end up with Ellie showing up back at the bar, and Dalton apologizes because of, like, hurting people, I'm guessing. Like, he's like, I'm sorry. I hurt people again. Like, that's what it was.
And what then, is he fucking...
And then the dad shows up, who somehow got there in less... He was on a fucking boat following everybody while Conor McGregor's character was climbing up onto a bridge, and he got there behind Conor McGregor's character by 6 minutes or 7 minutes. It was insanity. And he comes through the front door instead of through the back where the water is.
You know you picked this movie, right?
I know I picked this movie, it wasn't because I like, oh, you know what, I've seen it and it's great. I wanted to pick this movie because it was new and it was like supposed to be fun. I'm not knocking it. It was a fun movie, but at the same time, it made no sense.
Mind you, none of them were wet.
The only like dampness on their bodies was from sweat. Yeah,
that was it. Not a single one.
They were all wet. In a boat crash or boat explosion scene.
In and out of the water.
Yeah.
And mind you, the boat where the dad was on, they took there were two boats. Mm-hmm. Ben took the one and Conor McGregor's boat. So you're telling me the dad got off the exploding boat, swam back to land.
Why is he young?
Got in a car and then came to the bar.
He had his own boat because we see him in a boat going past Conor McGregor.
How many fucking boats were at the big boat?
There had to be three boats.
There's a lot.
There had to be at least three boats at the big boat. I don't know. I didn't do a count, but at the same time, I was too focused on the shitty CGI. The water was CGI. The drinks on the boat were CGI. There was so much CGI in this movie, I almost shit my pants. And I'm not the one, like, you are the one that wants practical effects.
Yeah. No.
I was going to say.
The fight scenes were CGI.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They were, yeah.
No, I was going to tell you, Renfield was all practical. This was all CGI.
I know.
They even came up with a new technique for the CGI for the fight scenes.
Yeah, I was reading about that too. You can go ahead and talk about it. I've been yelling about this movie for the last fucking 15 minutes.
Oh, don't worry. I'm about to.
So keep this in consideration in your rating.
Oh.
So, yeah, the filmmakers sought to innovate how fight scenes are filmed. The team developed a new multi-pass technique to make their brawls look more realistic. Marking a departure from traditional fight choreography. Every fight in the film uses full CGI. Doubles to do the production use multi-pass method to seamless punch it to seamless.
Okay, I thought that maybe you wrote this in your own words.
No. For a
second. I got this in my own words here.
Can you simplify?
Fight scenes were done in four shots. They did a person throws a punch, then they hit a big red hand, or they have a big red pad in their hand. And they hit that as hard as they can, and then the hand hitting the pad, like so there's like two. These are all three. Or like those are three different shots. So a person throws a punch. That's one shot. They have a big red pad in their hand. That's a second shot. Then they hit as hard as they can on a pad, like where the fist should be landing, and then a background shot with like nobody in it. It's just a background shot to fill up for when they combine it all.
Yeah, that.
So they combine all of those things.
That's what I said.
I mean,
yes, that's what you said.
That's what I said.
In Dumb Dumb Talk.
I don't know where you found that, but that's better.
Well, that was the fight choreographer. Actually, like there was like a 3-minute like interview that
so
I saw.
So as for the fight CGI, I thought that was cool. Like yeah, it made it look better. Don't get me wrong.
No, but I think that was
the needlessness
good.
Of all the other CGI.
Yeah.
Are you like?
There was so much CGI. Like
it was like watching Transformers.
I didn't really notice the fight CGI as much.
No, because it looked good.
Because the other shit that they did was so obnoxiously bad. Like the scene where there's like a. I don't know what it's called, but there's like a kayak or something floating in the sky in the bar, and it's crashing, like it like comes crashing.
There was no need. You could have done styrofoam.
It is so CGI'd. It's insane. And again, I was talking shit real hard to my fiance because we were watching that boat scene. I was like, this is a nightmare. Like everything in this scene is CGI, and it's blowing my mind how like poorly it's done. I'm not like I don't look for this kind of shit most of the time, but it was so blatant.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't deal with this. Anyway, sorry.
So when we're at the ending fight scene with Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal, right? What's Ellie doing?
I'm just waiting. He told her when they swam up the shore. He's like, wait here. And then like he disappeared. He went,
all she hears is
she
doesn't do anything.
She might have thought they were fucking.
See, he's starting to get it. All I'm saying is,
if Jake told you to wait, you wait.
All I'm saying is she could have really killed Conor McGregor. Just come up, oh, look, a pointy stick. Oh, look, McGregor's occipital lobe. Yeah, she could have helped.
Where was he on her at the bar?
Yeah, Frankie doesn't show up until, like, honestly, it might have been, like, I will say, maybe it's too early for them to be there. Like, I don't know if she lives at the bar or not, but, like, she shows up later, like, pretty soon after all of the stuff happens. Yeah.
And Jake Gyllenhaal's character is not going to get away. There is going to be a full-blown fucking investigation done by the Coast Guard, the police department, the ATF, and the FBI.
And he doesn't run.
He's not getting away.
When Big Dick shows up and is like, get the fuck out of here. You weren't ever here. And then he leaves.
You're not getting away.
He leaves. He goes to the bus. Big Brother
will find you.
He goes to the bus stop. And he's sitting there for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes for the bus to show up, for him to get picked up? Like, it's just like...
Like, the Coast Guard just didn't see an explosion and they're not going to be on that? Like, flies on shit? No!
It's... And then the ending of it is wild. Like... Oh, also, another thing to point out. I looked up... So, I was thinking about the daughter of the bookstore, because the bookstore is burned down. They're rebuilding the bookstore at the time they run into them. And the dad goes inside the bookstore, finds the money that Dalton has left in the bookstore, is kind of like, oh, here you go. Kind of like, you guys deserve this more than anybody, even though it's probably more money than he'll see for the rest of his life because of him, you know, ruining his career.
I snuck a little for myself, but I mean...
Maybe put it in the bottom of the tackle box, whatever.
Yeah.
But the daughter's like, you know, the hero doesn't always have to leave at the end. And then, like, the dad comes, like, screaming out as he's hopping on the bus. It's just like... So... The daughter earlier in the movie, when he shows up for the first time in the bookstore after they've had their initial introduction, he goes into the bookstore. She's like, oh, I found a book for your life. And it's called, Danger at the Double X or something like that, which is like a cowboy novel. I looked that book up. It doesn't exist. Not at all. I tried to look up the name of the author. I don't even think the author fucking exists. I looked up westerns from the 1950s because she said that's the year it came out.
The book's fake.
I was like, I was surprised.
They CGI'd the book.
Yeah, they probably CGI'd the money.
It's on Amazon Prime, right? I expected that to be a trivia fact. There were like three trivia facts. One of which being, this is Conor McGregor's first movie.
Now, I saw that.
Thank you.
And then the place next door sharing the name that we mentioned already. That was one of them.
Yeah, but like I noticed that by myself. And then there was the other one was the fight scene being shot at the UFC. Like, that's it. There was maybe three facts. And I was like, seriously? Nothing else? This is your fucking movie. You don't even have, like, give me some fucking, like, behind-the-scenes shit.
Yeah.
Anything. But they didn't have it. I'm just so mad. I'm just always mad all the time.
I can't wait to see what you rate your own movie.
So
that's my movie. I'm going to rate it 10 out of 10.
So can we segue into who has the best body in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Who are we talking about? Oh, who's the buff boy in Conor this movie? Conor McGregor. I'd say he's probably got a bubble
butt. Bro, the first scene when you see him, that thing is thangin', bro. He's got a fucking wet. He's got the Carl Weezer type ass, bro. That shit is bubblicious.
Oh, shit.
I hate you.
Bro, he's got a fat ass.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He's got a nice little turd cutter on him, too.
Sorry, I asked for this. Also, we see his ass on his way out of the movie.
Which does not look as plump as it does in the beginning.
Well, it's because he's hurt. He's all fucked up.
I mean, I get it.
Stabbed a bunch. I would say that is a very big man. Say he's probably not the biggest dude we've seen on the show, so I would probably go with a rating of a 6.
I was honestly watching him, like, because I was taking a piss when he was walking in Italy or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it through my...
mirror?
No, it's a picture, but I can see the reflection of my TV. So I saw him walking towards the camera. I'm like, no way they put a cock shot in this movie. And I had to rewind it to see if they put a cock shot in, and they did not. And I was like, damn, dude. Because he was naked, but he had just had the pea coat on. I'm like, fuck, they could have put a cock shot in.
Honestly, how tall is he?
Not very tall.
He's got to be like 5 foot, like 7.
You know how much money he got paid to do this movie?
I'd probably...
5.5 mil.
I'd say probably a lot. It was probably a bunch of the budget.
I mean, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, considering he was like a UFC fighter, yeah. Was, you know, he... I also heard that he did the movie. He wanted to do a movie because of shitty, like the way Meryl Streep talked about, like, she called them foreigners, but she wasn't actually talking about foreigners. She was talking about people that were trying to, like, invade the movie industry that weren't actors. Like, so he was like, he had like a chip on his shoulder coming in to do the movie. He's like, fighting is an art.
Yeah.
Doing fighting people is actually artistic.
Jake Gyllenhaal, actually, I wrote it down. Oh, what the fuck?
Not taking anything away from Jake Gyllenhaal's work.
He learned the movie.
He looked big.
Oh, yeah.
He was very big for this movie. Like, he actually barrel chested, like, big, like, fucking six pack the whole time, which, you know, most movies, like, you know, the guys are, or like most scenes where you have like a big six pack or whatever, you're dehydrating yourself and stuff like that. There's no way he was doing that every fucking every day for this movie.
They could have just CGI'd it.
That's true. They could have. They could have been CGI. Fucking CGI was in this movie.
Honestly.
Honestly, if you guys if you haven't watched this movie and you're still listening,
don't go watch it.
Go watch the fucking boat scene so you can see the CGI on it. It's just so. I can give you a timestamp because I've kept track of everything. I always keep track of everything. The timestamp for the boat was around. Let's see here. Let's do 96 minutes. That's where the bomb goes off on the boat. And that's where the CGI starts. And it is...
It started at the beginning with the boat falling.
I'm talking about the boat. The disastrous boat scene. It's chef's kiss with how bad it is. But... It's wild to me how much CGI they use.
So can we all agree that this movie fucking sucked?
We're not there yet.
We can't talk about it yet. But I was okay. So, but what was your buff Bond review?
It was Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I know. What would you give us? What do you give his physique in this movie?
Oh, 1 out of 10.
I gave him a 6. I think it was a good physique. I think that it was like strong.
What's a 10?
I'm thinking. I mean, what's a 10?
Like Arnold out of like straight out of like Pumping Iron.
Probably like that's
all right.
And then
one being like what, like Soy Boy Michael Cera.
I'm thinking like Timothée Chalamet.
Ugh.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know who Timothée Chalamet from Dune?
Do you know who Michael Cera is? The guy from fucking Juno?
Hold on. Do you shake your head at Michael Cera?
I hate Michael Cera.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Fuck Michael Cera, that piece of shit. I fucking hate him.
What did he do to you? How did he hurt
Jesus.
You?
Jesus.
I could go into a whole fucking 2-hour rant. Well, I fucking hate Michael Cera. Anyway.
Well, I can't wait to hear that after the podcast.
Well, now that I know who he is, I love him.
Okay. Fuck Michael Cera.
So what's the rating?
I would say 6.
6? Six?
Yeah. If there was a cock shot, it would have bumped it up to about an 8.
Well, wonder if they had a weird looking cock. Would that be
That'd
weird?
That'd be a 9.
Poor breath.
This is why we have a man.
Chandler Buff Bond?
I was pretty impressed with Jake.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even get to see his ass.
It's not always about the.
That's not
the buddy.
That's not
the butt boy.
That's not what the scale's on. We're not doing best ass.
Well, I'm just saying, like
we could do that as a segment if you want.
Are a part of the physique.
He was wearing jeans, okay. Baby.
I was pretty impressed how he looked. I don't know all the details of his workout program. That's why I want to watch Southpaw so bad, because I know he's ripped in that movie too. But I had read that he had said what he had to go through between preparing for Southpaw and this movie were two completely different.
Really?
Yeah, I think he probably had to bulk more for this one. Southpaw is pretty lean.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't my strong suit either. I mean,
there's a lot of respect
I would rate Jake, like I said, this movie, I didn't really care for him as an actor, really, but this movie helped.
It was fun.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I liked it. I'd give him a 6.
Jake Gilly a 6 against the Conor McGregor 6?
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say I'd agree. I'd say they were equally matched.
I think Jake had, and it's only because I think Jake had to do more work to prepare for this. Conor McGregor probably just took his shirt and pants off and said, "I'm here. Let's go."
No,
let's fucking go, boy.
No,
that's probably.
Have you seen Conor McGregor back like when he was like he was thin? He was like 170.
I mean, it's probably like preparing for a fight.
Yeah, kind of thing. Maybe.
So, no, that's good. All right, let's talk about the movie rating. Let's talk about the movie.
Oh, God, thank you.
But nobody asked me why I picked this movie.
Well, we thought you would go into it.
I'll just tell you right now. It was because I thought it would be fun, a fun movie to watch. It was something new. Like I said, I really want to get us into watching
new.
I want to get us watching some new stuff because it might, you know, might get people more on board with looking at some of the stuff we're watching right now. Because
you know, every fourth week we're going back.
Yeah, I know that Chandler's movie is definitely going to be something from the 80s, if I don't.
Every fourth week, we're going back.
I got to bring us into the 2020s. So, this was, you know, obviously, it's because it was available. I actually just really want to watch it, and I needed an excuse to watch it. That's it.
Okay.
There's a few movies I've actually watched. I watched the Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ricky Stenicki, which was new on Amazon. I also watched the Dream Scenario movie with Nick Cage.
How was that?
It was interesting. We can talk more about it later. But I try to keep up with a lot of like the newer movies, and if I'm doing that anyway, I might as well just throw that in when I can. So that's why I picked it, and I thought that you guys might enjoy it, and I might enjoy it. And I know that you had said that you'd never seen the original Roadhouse, so I was like, well...
Can't say that anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta throw that in there just because I think it'll be fun. So, that's why I picked it. Fun movie.
So, do we start with me, or?
Yes, he said it again!
He said the thing, he did the thing!
He did the thing!
Alright. I will give my spiel. This is a little detailed, so bear with me. As far as this movie goes... When you first picked it, I was kind of like, ugh. Like I said, because, one, I didn't care for Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for Jake. This movie helped a little with Jake. I still
so much better.
I know. I still do not care for Conor McGregor. That being said, I hope to God this is not the start of... him trying to be in every single action movie that they can squeeze him into. It worked for The Rock. It worked for John Cena. I don't think it's going to work for him.
No.
I really don't. I hope they really don't go crazy with this, with him, but, you know, we'll see. That also being said, this was a Roadhouse remake, and I felt like only 30 minutes of it was actually about Roadhouse. I feel like the longer the movie went on, the further away we got from it. That also being said, like I said earlier, I watched the old one right after I watched the new one. I don't think I would rate this movie as high if I did not watch the old one right after. The old one helped it so much. Like I said, I couldn't even finish the old one. If I had to pick between the two, the new one's better than the old one. I also felt like this movie was like trying to be like the Fast and the Furious movies with all the CGI.
Yeah.
But that's my take on it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I'm giving this one a 4.5.
A lot better than what I'm going to give it.
Well.
Sorry.
I have a new rating system that I use personally.
What? I need a copy.
No, sorry. It's actually just you can look at the number 3 part of that one, whereas stupid but fun because of Speed. I just rate every movie now based off of did I like it more than Speed? Yes, I did. So, this movie is a 4 because I am ultimately unsatisfied by it because I could not fucking follow the mania that was the fucking just the drugs and the like the plot. What the fuck is the plot of this movie? That's what drives me nuts.
They're trying to save Roadhouse.
I Thank you, bud. Appreciate you. I just don't understand the bad guy's motive, and I don't understand, like, the money, like where his money's coming from. Or, like, is there drugs involved? It sounds like there's drugs involved. Why is the cop working for him? There's a whole level that they've added that doesn't make any sense, and I hate it. Again, like I said, this is kind of a movie you shut your brain off and you just go like, oh yeah, okay, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. So again, four, because ultimately fun, but I would say I was completely unsatisfied with like the story element of it. It was fun to watch the like fight scenes and all like the, you know, I thought it was a very like well done, like, you know, fight scenes were great and everything like that. There was like, you know, funny lines, there was a whole bunch of good quips and stuff like that. The CGI was fucking terrible and I'm hating it. So that's why I think that's why I'm giving it like a four, because I think a four is, again, like I said, ultimately unsatisfying because the CGI was bad and the story was kind of eh, but it was still kind of fun to watch.
You think this is better than Speed?
Yeah, I thought this was better than Speed. Because Speed, I was stuck on a fucking bus the whole time and none of the things made sense in Speed, like, at all. Whereas some of it I could get, like, let go on this and just kind of, like, you know, just watch, you know, big dude fighting big dude and that's it. And there's funny, there's ultimately more funny stuff in this than Speed. I will say there were some practical effects in Speed that I enjoyed a lot more because they merged practical and CG at the time. Like, at the time, though, I feel like now, if you remade Speed right now,
they're gonna
buy, it would all be CGI. Yeah. Like, there wouldn't be anything that wasn't CGI in that movie. But yeah, it was. I think it was ultimately better. That's the way. Like, again, that's what I base most of myself
on. This movie could be better with Keanu in it.
If you had Keanu in it,
yes.
No, it would be John Wick. It would be John Wick gets a part-time job at Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
There'd be a lot more dead bodies, that's for sure.
That's true.
So I think, if I'm going off your scale, I think Speed is way better than this movie.
Hell yeah.
Wow!
There you go, pal.
Speed has a plot you can follow.
Preach it.
Speed has a plot that you're not... You didn't poke enough plot holes in Speed than you did with this.
There
were plot holes.
There were plot holes.
Brennan's going to thank you for this, pal. Let him have it.
Listen.
His movie.
I will say, I could follow the plot of Speed.
Yeah.
That's true. I could follow the plot of Speed. But I could ultimately not watch Speed one more time without wanting to just be on a bus with a bomb on it. That's the way I feel. But I could probably watch this movie again, is my problem.
I could watch Speed. If it was a choice between this and Speed, I'm watching Speed.
Hell yeah. Oh my God.
Brother.
Preach it. Is.
Look, hell yes.
Even when you got the Post Malone cameo, I did.
That is wild to me. Post Malone, they talked about Post Malone being in the movie, and he wasn't. That's another fucking accident.
Yeah. So, okay. CGI and the fight scenes were cool. All right. It was integrated well.
This is going to be
everything else. Dog shit.
Missing the rating scale.
What?
This is going to be.
I want to see the rating scale.
This is going to be his lowest rated movie.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see. I'm sorry. I made the rating scale. I don't actively follow the rating scale. Let's see. Honestly, the only thing I could drop it to would be a 3. Stupid but fun. Because it was stupid but fun. Because I don't need to do this again. I honestly feel like I could. Like I said, I watched it twice.
Yeah.
I could probably like. Actually, I take it back. I didn't watch it twice. I just scanned through it on Amazon. I was just like saw the scenes change, and I wrote down what they were, like what happened. But I had to watch it again to follow the fucking plot.
You didn't have to do that with Speed.
You know what? You know what?
Brendan's going to thank you and shake your hand.
I changed my mind. I changed my mind.
Really?
3.
Oh my God.
Yes! Stupid but fun. You convinced me. Stupid but fun.
Oh my God.
So,
hold on.
What I gave Speed. Gave Speed a 3.
I think you did, yeah.
And I will say.
Hold on, I gotta redo math.
I'm doing the math too, so you don't have to worry about 4. It too much.
4.5, 3.0. Okay.
So while you're doing that, I'm gonna give my last talking point on this.
Oh God.
I hate when action movies throw quirky little jokes in there. It felt just like a Marvel movie. Like when Conor McGregor smashes fucking Jake Gyllenhaal's head into the piano and Jake Gyllenhaal's sounds a little off key.
I think it sounds fine.
Like, it's fucking, it's stupid. Like, why are you throwing stupid fucking quips in there? You're fighting. Have it be action. I'm not here to, oh, that was funny. So, I mean,
I think the movie, I honestly think that they were trying. Like, I feel like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
A little bit, but it wasn't good enough to, like, it wasn't good enough and it wasn't enough.
I didn't laugh at all. I just went, that was, what were you trying to do? I didn't even nose laugh.
There were a couple, like I said, there were a couple of scenes where I laughed out loud. It was just like the octagon one, who taught you shapes? Like, that was funny.
I thought the one that was the funniest was when, like, he slapped him.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have insurance?
And yeah, that encounter was
fun. Mo, the character Mo was funny.
Yeah, I thought he was.
It's,
yeah,
it's really hard to ride down here in South Florida, so I had to join up with this group, and then it turns out these guys are all really mean. I don't really know them that much. I'm gonna leave now. Sorry about this. It's just like such a weird, like, I would say he was a cute character. His character was cute. Like, he just felt bad. He was a goofball. He was like, yeah, he just like felt bad for him. But yeah, everybody else in this movie was kind of like, I don't give a shit about anybody in this movie.
What's your rate?
Two. This movie's a fucking two.
Hell yes. What was two on the scale?
Oh, God.
I would not watch this movie again. It was not fun.
Don't need to do this again.
Yeah,
don't need to do this again. No. That was a mega tracks.
I feel like I rated mine too high.
This so movie come out is to? A 3.2.
This is our lowest.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I decided that because Chandler hates all good movies, that I can't get the highest rating. So I figured maybe I would go the opposite way and get the lowest rating that what I could possibly get.
You said 3.2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before I'm done with my fucking rant, I'm also pissed about the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal took this fucking role. Every movie that I've watched with Jake Gyllenhaal has been pretty good. And then just... Like me hearing you say that this gave you, like, props for him, I was like, bro, you need to watch, like, other Jake Gyllenhaal movies.
I've only seen 3 out of the 75,
so,
like, including this one.
Do you know Patrick Swayze was in Donnie Darko?
He was?
Yeah, he was in Donnie Darko with Jake Gyllenhaal, and he said in an interview that he, like, wanted to do a justice for Patrick Swayze. So it's possible that he took the movie because he wanted to try to like pay homage to a friend that had passed away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I would say I wouldn't paint Jake Gyllenhaal into too hard of a corner for this. Also, he probably made a hell of a paycheck off of it too.
I don't remember what you rated Speed, but
I will.
Brendan, you weren't this ecstatic about Speed when we were talking about
it. I wasn't because I hadn't seen a movie worse than fucking Speed until today.
So, Speed, Mason rated a 5.5.
Okay, all right.
I rated it a 3.
Yeah.
And you rated it a 6.
Yeah.
So
the lowest pick. Movie on the scale right now, right?
It sure is, I'm looking right now. The lowest before this was RoboCop.
Spaceballs.
It's tied with, what was Spaceballs? 4.7. You're right, it was 4.7. Yeah. I apologize.
Speed and RoboCop came out at 4.8. They were tied.
Yeah, that's right. There was a 4.8 for RoboCop, and Speed was a 4.8 as well. Wow.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Our first 10 movies, you said you wanted to go with, like, what was the top of the charts?
Yeah, to the bottom.
We could look at the top and the bottom. So 8.2 for Place Beyond the Pines. But I feel like the scale is broken for that.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then we had a 7.8 tie for Goodfellas, and I believe, let's see here, Goodfellas and Breakfast Club. So it was 7.8 and 7.8. So our top three are the Place Beyond the Pines, and Goodfellas, and The Breakfast Club. The worst movie so far has been Roadhouse,
and it is the newest movie.
Shocking, a 2024 movie.
A 2024
at the joint. Lowest,
and then a 4.7 for the Spaceballs. 4.7 And then a RoboCop with 4.8 tied with Speed. So those are our lowest three and top three for the first 10 movies. And have you decided what you would like us to watch next week?
What the fuck is that
face? He's counting on his hands right now.
Dude, I thought he stroked out for a second.
All right. Even or odd?
Oh, dude, don't do this. Even or odd? Ugh, even.
Even or odd?
Because this I'm an oddball.
This is going to help. God damn it.
He didn't pick before we started recording. Yeah, so he's that's what you guys
totally
have to deal with.
Shooting from the hip right now.
All right.
I'm scared.
I'm not. I'm ready. Well, my body's ready.
It almost was another Jake Gyllenhaal movie. It was going to be Jarhead. Instead, it is going to be Robert De Niro's Taxi Driver.
I've seen that one.
I've never seen Taxi Driver as well.
I have not.
You've never seen it?
No.
Wow. Okay.
All I know is it's just a scene.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know the other scene. You talking to me?
Oh, yeah.
No one else.
And then he burns his hand on the fucking...
It is a very weird, very, very...
It is a slow movie, too.
Very slow movie, him.
What was that his first movie?
No. I think his first one was a black... I think it was filmed in black and white.
I thought he was pretty young in that movie.
Pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I own this one on DVD.
Yeah, I've never seen this one.
Yeah.
So.
Throwing a curveball.
I don't know what year it even came out. I think it came out in the 70s, didn't it?
I think. Late 70s.
I don't remember.
Mm.
Hell yeah.
Did I pick Sorry, a bad John. One? I don't remember.
Did I pick a bad one? No one seems excited.
No, I'm intrigued. I know about it. I just never watched it. I want to see it.
I'll watch it again. It's been a minute since I've actually seen it.
No.
Okay. 1976, by the way.
No.
Damn.
No,
I went farther back than Chandler.
No takesy backsies.
Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, which Ooh. Is a very weird relationship. Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Are you good with it?
Well, you have to be good with it because he picked it.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all going to enjoy the movie.
I've never seen Jarhead either, but...
God damn it, you're really making me want...
You ain't switching.
Taxi Driver.
I already switched my score. We can't do another switcheroo.
Yeah, we can't. Taxi Driver.
All right. Well, that's it.
Shittiest movie so far, baby.
Can't wait. Glad to bring us all down a peg. I made it a point before that I wanted to... Like, I don't care. I feel like we've had too many classics. I feel like we need we need to get dragged through the mud a little bit, so let's do it. So... thanks for everybody that's listening, and we appreciate all of you, and hopefully we might have some bonus episodes coming up to try to fill in some space. You'll know when you hear them, because we'll introduce them that way, but should be fun and different to boot. So
can I say the thing?
You want to say the thing?
I want to try.
You make me say the thing all
know,
the time.
But I think I got the courage to say it.
Do you want to say it?
And if I don't see you tomorrow, good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.